From deep within enemy country of St. Louis, Missouri, this is Stuart, and you're listening to the IVMD podcast brought to you by proud Patreon supporters like me, as long as I don't get caught. Go Cubs.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 343rd episode of the IVMB podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by two other hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
The two other hosts. Sorry, I left the, I just made it sound like you were two of the many.
Like we're Ohio State.
Right. Got a whole barn full of hosts out back. I mean, we can.
We are the.
We are blabbing tonight.
And yeah. We wish it weren't called that, but it is, and it seems pretty cool though.
Yeah, I like it so far. I'm getting so many props, I can't even stand it.
Oh my gosh, okay. So I should explain what's going on here. So we usually do the live broadcasts of this podcast on Sunday evenings at 8:30 PM Central. Usually we use Google Plus, but we're trying a new service tonight. It's called Blab. And I think this service has some pros and cons compared to Google Plus, but we're going to give it a try. And Blab is a free app on iOS and Android. And we'll probably try this a few more times before we decide whether or not to stick with it or go back to Google. The one thing that Blab will do is it's much easier to watch these live broadcasts on mobile. And I think that's basically how we compute nowadays.
We compute. That does not compute.
it just makes sense that it, because our other, like when people went to ivmv.com/live, it just I heard people say that it didn't really work very well on mobile, and then like they couldn't use the chat and stuff like that. So basically, follow us on Twitter and download the free Blab app. and you'll see when we'll tweet when we go live. But you can watch it on your computer, though. If you're having any trouble finding it, go to ivmv.com/live, and I'll post the link in the chat to the Blab. Right now, we're not able to embed the live video on our site. I did talk with an employee of Blab, and that feature is on its way.
So insider connection.
No, actually I was doing a Blab and she popped in, and so
was it
she
was like Middleditch?
Oh, do you have any questions? So I think the Blab thing makes it easier for you to watch on mobile, and it's really easy to comment, and also you can give us props, and that's how we can tell at the end of the show who has performed the best. And how does Kurt have over 1,000 props?
That's my boy.
Log in through a different Twitter account, and you're just like,
no, I couldn't have thought of a great name like Jonah.
Kurt is Jonah Wooten.
Wow, that's amazing. AKA it's just gonna Bert keep going. So yeah, I guess that's how we can tell who who made the most sense, I guess. On this episode.
Words. Seems like a flawless system.
right.
It's very social media.
Okay, so moving on to Chicago Cubs baseball. It's worth mentioning that we are recording this during the Cubs Dodgers game on Sunday night. Last I saw, the Cubs were up 2-0. So that kind of tells you where we're at in the game. Of course, I've been distracted with Blabs, so 2-0. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, it kind of feels like we're on the home stretch now of this 2015 season. And I was thinking that it probably makes sense to start each episode with a playoff update. As I mentioned, the Cubs are playing tonight. So these numbers will be outdated here in a few hours. But if they win or lose, it will affect these numbers by half a game. So right now, as of right now, the Cubs are 73-55. So they are 10 games behind the Cardinals for the National League Central. Did the Pirates win today? I meant to look at that before we recorded.
I don't know.
I wish I could tell you.
Me too. I've been out of commission most of the day.
I'm going to look real quick. They lost. Cool. Okay. So, so they're six games behind the Pirates, for the first, or no, they're five and a half. They could be as little as five games behind the Pirates for the first wild card spot, which is worth home field advantage in that wild card game. And the Cubs are currently in possession of the second spot, and they have a five game lead over the Giants. And as of this morning, the Cubs have an 88% chance of making the playoffs, and there's a 44% chance that they will make it past that wild card game. So in the last 7 days, their playoff chances have dropped about 3%, which isn't dramatic. And I think that that 3% drop kind of leads us into this last week in Cubs baseball. We knew that the Giants and Dodgers series were going to be rough, and I think they were.
Yeah, they were. I think they were rougher than I expected them to be, for sure. And we've kind of had some discussions around how they performed against quality pitching, and there's, you know, varying, you know, reports about that. And we talked about the, was it Greinke or Kershaw that they beat last time?
They beat Kershaw last time,
right? Well, but they didn't do well, but they still won that game in extras or whatever.
I think they beat both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, but they did. Yeah.
The Greinke game was the one they won late. You know,
yeah, that was like one to nothing or something.
But Kershaw was the one where Bryant hit a home run, or was it two even? I mean, they actually beat Kershaw fair and square.
Right. But not this time. Not second time around.
No.
But yeah, the Bumgarner Kershaw
back to back.
Those guys are. I'd hesitate, and I'd tell people to hesitate to like get too freaked out by that, because like those guys against any team with that kind of stuff are going to do that kind of thing. So
right, yeah.
Well, it's hard to win this or lose this many games in a row. It's against really good teams with really good pitching. So
yeah, the fact that they've lost four games in a row really doesn't concern me, considering who they faced. And it's not even like, oh, well, you know, I think some Cubs fans might say, oh, well, you're going to have to beat Kershaw and Bumgarner types in the playoffs. And while that's true, you're probably not going to throw Dan Heron up against Madison Bumgarner. Like,
wait a second, they aren't?
He's got that number one spot. That's how the rotation's going to line up. Heron versus...
He's going to get hot. But I think really, I mean, if you had to identify a problem in this four-game losing streak, which, as I mentioned, does not concern me at all. But I think the problem would be the offense. You know, the offense, I think it fueled the team's wins in August. And granted, these four games, I mean, for the most part, it's against good pitching, but six runs in 4 days is not going to win you very many games. And yes, that's two games against Bumgarner and Kershaw, but that's also a start against Peavy and Latos, both of which the Cubs really could have beat up on with those power left-handed bats. I saw Kerry Muscat tweeted today that in those four games, they're batting 149 as a team.
Well, yeah, and the only guy that's hitting over 300 in the last 7 days is David Ross. He's only had three at-bats.
Yeah, the PV one doesn't bother me.
Don't need to pull out the small sample size song.
No, please, please don't. Yeah, I see you. Like, you started to look for it. Like, if you could do it.
Look, I got the finger right here.
Finger is ready.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah, definitely the Latos versus Lester. That stung a little more than the PV star did, because you kind of thought, oh, yeah, we got this in the bag. Latos is really rough, and he missed a start, and, you know, he could really light him up. And then you got Lester going, and he comes off a good outing last time. You thought maybe this was kind of in the bag, but... No, not the case.
Yep.
So far in this game, Arrieta's looking good. So,
well, okay. So since we're on the topic of Lester and Arrieta, a few weeks ago we talked about who we would like to see the Cubs send to the mound in that wild card game, if God willing they get there. I went with Arrieta, And Andy, I kind of let you talk me out of it when you made the case for Lester. Where are you at with that right now?
I still think it should be Lester.
Oh, no way. No, I am completely, I'm over in the Arrieta camp all the way.
Yeah.
I knew that would get you guys riled up. I mean, that's part of the reason I'm sticking by him, but, I still think like this is the first year of his contract. He has the experience, whereas Arrieta doesn't. And they're going to be in a situation where they're going to be willing to go to the bullpen if necessary a little bit earlier. I think it should be Lester.
I think, well, you're wrong, but no, I mean, it's a tough thing to think about because, yeah, I think Lester makes sense, but I don't know. I'm back in the Arrieta camp with you there, Kurt. Let's pitch our tent. We're in the Arrieta camp.
The tent is pitched.
You guys can go ahead and pitch it together, and I'll pitch mine over in the corner.
It's not that I don't trust Lester necessarily. It's just that I think the Arrieta has been more consistent, and I realize that this game that we've mentally been preparing ourselves for a month is still a month away, and perhaps by that time maybe Lester is more consistent or as consistent. But I really do think that I want Arrieta in there, and I think the Cubs have two series left with the Pirates, and I think we'll learn more in those series. But I looked at the stats for Arrieta and Lester against the Pirates this season. Arrieta has pitched in three games. In those three games, he has a 0.86 ERA. He's given up two runs in 21 innings, 19 strikeouts and four walks, and Pirates batters are hitting 155 off of him. Now, Lester had a good game. That was Lester's. He pitched a complete game against the Pirates and gave up one run. And it's a small sample size, but batters did hit 321 off of him in that one game. But I think, I guess we've seen more from Arrieta, but I, like I said, I think that hopefully we'll get to see each of those pitchers maybe pitch twice, against the Pirates. And I think that might give us a better idea too.
Would say I would prefer that it would be Lester. I'd prefer to have the confidence in Lester for it to be him. I think he's obviously the big money guy, so I'd rather it be him. But at this point, based on performance, I'd go Arrieta. Yeah.
I did like Corey, how you kind of projected the way the rotation would be set up if they won the play-in game, that you would then have Lester going for game one of the series you had Arrieta pitch in the play-in.
Right. So you would have. So I think if you had Arrieta pitch game one, then or the wild card game. Then in the NLDS, you would have Lester game one, Hamill game two, and then you would have Arrieta ready for game three, and then Lester game four. So I really like that you're kind of getting like aces in three of your four, the first four games.
Yeah, but I mean, you paid Lester to be the guy, But for this team.
I understand that, but I mean, do you think that... I'm going to go ahead and interrupt you there, Andy.
Oh, no, just feel free. Yeah, interrupt at any time.
But do you think that Joe Maddon is going to be the type of manager that's like, nope, he got ace money, he's going to be our ace? I think everything he does is whatever makes the most amount of sense to win a game. I don't think he pays attention to who the ace is, who makes the most money.
Not necessarily. I agree with that. But at the same time...
Man, I made that point. I didn't get any props.
With tons of experience, he's going to bring that to the team, in a high leverage situation. And Arrieta is obviously pitching his way into being the best pitcher on this team. But I think that might just be, next year.
I'm solely in the Arrieta camp, especially what's happening right now. I don't know if you guys are kind of watching the numbers in the current game, but what's happening right now and the fact that he's not just the best pitcher on the Cubs, he's one of the best in all of baseball at this moment.
Right. I think if
it'd be hard to convince me otherwise. So you're wrong, Andy.
Yeah. Anyway, I know. I'm sorry. Like, honestly, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate just to do it. But
we got to have one of us.
I felt like I made a great point about Madden not doing what, not starting Lester because he makes more money. And I looked and I got zero props for that point. So I'm a little disappointed in it.
There you go. There's a few props. I'll give you 10 props. You're so far behind me, I'll just give you some props.
Are you guys going to do that now? Like when you make a point, you're going to look over to see if anybody agrees with you.
You props.
Oh, I got belated props for playing Chuck Mangione before we started recording.
Right. I played Mangione upstairs before I started recording.
You got no props for the nesting dolls. The Bulls nesting dolls.
Oh, here they come. Incoming props.
I can't wait till our first iTunes comment about all they talk about is props.
All they talk about is freaking props.
right. Okay. So, I guess, can we call this the home stretch? I'm calling it that. We're entering,
it's almost September.
Yeah. And so with September just being a few days away, there's already chatter about call-ups because the rosters do expand on September 1st.
Yeah. And I think there's no surprise there that Javi will be in the first wave of call-ups. He's playing well in Iowa. He's had a rough season, as we know. We've covered that pretty well, but he's come back strong. And
not necessarily rough on the field.
Well, more the whole picture, personally, and he's had an injury. So, but it's good to see him bounce back from all that and be able to hit well when he came back. So, he'll be the first wave, certainly. I think there's no question about that. And then I think we'll see Quentin Berry and Emilio Bonifacio, for the legs.
It sounds like Baez.
You guys covered that pretty well last episode.
It sounds like Baez may come up as early as Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so.
On the first, so.
Bonifacio and Berry will be up shortly. I think probably around there because they're not going to do much for Iowa in the last, 7 days. And then I think, and this isn't really a call-up, but Soriano should be ready to come off the DL around that point. Who knows exactly what day. And then I think probably another bullpen arm will be the first next week. So maybe Ross Cup.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I think this sort of more speculative call-ups could be Carl Edwards Jr., which I hope he comes up. It seems pretty like a good move for him to come up and get some experience out of the bullpen. And then, of course, Mott will be back at some point. I don't know if you guys have much update on Ramirez, but he should be coming back. And then Soler as well. Those are more injury guys than call-ups, obviously. But
right. So I don't know if you guys saw it, but Ramirez was added to Tennessee's roster today.
For that's rehab. Cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him make it back to help the Cubs late in the season because, of course, I'm pretty high on Ramirez. I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too. But as far as like other position player guys, like I don't know if you guys have more that you think would come up and add to this team, but there really isn't a ton. Like a lot of guys are already here. I think we'll see maybe some other bullpen arms later, but.
Yeah, for example, like Trevor Cahill kind of flying under the radar a little bit, but he has 7.2 scoreless innings out of the bullpen since joining Iowa. So he's another guy that could be there.
Yeah, I think, I just think position player-wise, you have Javier Baez. I think he could be a pretty big impact. Past him, I can't think of many position players. I think that any position players get called up, it's just going to mainly be depth and maybe some defensive substitution type situations with like maybe Alcantara. I don't know. But I think that it's going to be really good to be able to bring up some more bullpen arms to kind of take some of the pressure off of the player, the guys that have been in the bullpen all season and are kind of gearing up for a postseason run. And I think being able to just kind of keep them fresh and not have to use them 3 out of every 5 days and things like that, I think that'll be good for the, you know, for the health of the team.
Yeah, the bullpen's going to be pretty full, let's say, for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yep. So these last few years, we've spent quite a bit of time here on the podcast talking about the Cubs minor league teams, basically the players that are impacting the team this year. They were in the minors the last couple of years, and so we were watching their development and production in the minors. But the minor league seasons are now wrapping up. This is the last full week of baseball in the, or regular season baseball. I think the regular seasons wrap up on Monday, Labor Day, a week from Monday, I should say, a week from tomorrow. We're recording this on Sunday, Labor Day. So I thought this might be a good time to look at the playoff chances for the Cubs minor league teams. So Andy, why don't you get us started with Iowa?
Sure. As my son is screaming about going to bed in the background, the Iowa Cubs have a, have 9 games left, and they're 4 games back of the Oklahoma City Dodgers. And wouldn't you know it, that 5 are against the OKC Dodgers.
Huh.
So the Cubs, the Iowa Cubs could potentially still make the playoffs if they play well against the Dodgers. But too bad the Cubs plan to call up Baez on Tuesday. I guess their fate is in their hands, but it's kind of a little bit of a tall order.
Yeah, how many games did you say back they are? I'm sorry.
4 games.
Oh, okay. That Oklahoma City team is really good this year.
Yeah, they're definitely.
Darwin Barney, is he there?
Yes, he is.
He got a gold glove second baseman. So
he plays the piano every day before every game for them in the dugout. I don't know if that's true. I mean, it'd be cool.
Let's assume it is. I have some props for that.
So Kurt, how are things going for the Tennessee Smokies?
Yeah, Kurt feels so comfortable doling out props since he's so far ahead. He's like, oh, I got the props game in the bag.
That's right. The Smokies, I guess it's a fairly similar situation. They've had a really good year overall. They're 72-60, but they didn't win the first half playoff. And for those who aren't familiar, the minor leagues work differently in that. If you win your division in the first half, you get a playoff spot, and then there's a second half winner. Some leagues have wild cards, but the Southern League does not have a wild card, so you kind of have to win one of the halves of your division. And they're playing really well. They've had a good year, and they've won 5 in a row recently, but they're still 6 games back with just 7 left. So they're kind of out of it. I mean, and, you know, I guess mathematically they're probably still in it. I didn't really look into that too much, but they're pretty much out. But the other side of it, they have had a really good season. So it's been a successful year for the Smokies.
And Myrtle Beach will be in the playoffs this year. They won the Carolina League Southern Division in the first half of the season. They were 41-28 in the first half, and they're still playing good ball. They're 36-25 in the second half. And, you know, it's good for these young guys to get some experience in playoff type situations. The players on the Myrtle Beach roster probably aren't going to impact the Cubs anytime soon. But I think this is good experience. And this is kind of what we saw, you know, over the last 2 or 3, 4 years. I think the Cubs really wanted their players to get some playoff experience, just to maybe experience how those playoff games are a little bit different than regular season games. But then I think also they're good just to give, get players kind of used to succeeding, you know, get that like taste of success so that it's not like a totally foreign thing. So that when they come up, and it would be interesting to look at, you know, the Cubs, the players, the young players that are currently on the Cubs, and see, I honestly can't remember how the teams did in the playoffs the last couple of years, but But I think that it's good to get them used to winning and used to experiencing that success. So it'll be good to see Myrtle Beach try to maybe do a little damage in the postseason. And then, Andy, how about South Bend? I think you're muted, Andy.
No props.
Dude gets props for being muted.
How is he muted?
Okay.
Look at all these props you're getting for being muted. Yeah.
Well, they like it when they don't hear my voice after what I said about John Lester. After what I said about John Lester, everybody's like, yes, when he's muted, give him props. Anyway, gee whiz. Sorry, I'm having troubles with the kid at home here, so I'm trying to keep muted when
I don't hear it
necessary. But anyway, South Bend has had a kind of a tough year. They played to a 60-69 record overall. They played under 500 ball for the first half and then 500 ball for the second half. So they're going to miss the playoffs. You know, they've had a few players perform well. And of course, the way the Cubs season has gone, you know, there's been a lot of mostly up and some down as far as roster turnover, I guess. But, you know, like one player that stands out would be Chesney Young. He's had a good season in the time that he was with the South Bend Cubs, hitting .315.
He's part of the Myrtle Beach team.
Right now. So he got promoted, but Gleyber Torres also in his time with the team played well. So, and they've had a few bright spots, but overall, you know, it's been a little rough.
Yeah, and then it's also worth mentioning that Eugene is in the short season Northwest League, and they are currently in first place, 18-13 in the second half of the season, and if they win that, then they will be in the playoffs. So, let's see.
Of the short season playoffs.
Yep. So let's move back up to the big league team. On the midweek episode, we talked about this team having a little bit of confidence and not shying away from exhibiting that confidence and putting it on display. We did get some voicemail about that, and we'll play that at the end of the episode. But this week, the Cubs added another player, and if Strope's crooked hat drives you nuts, this guy's really going to irritate you.
But rest assured, I mean, the guy's pajamas are classy. he wears like old man button down pajamas, like silk pajamas with I would imagine, you know, sort of those leather house slippers. But he does do the cricket hat, and the guy we're speaking of is Fernando Rodney. And Fernando Rodney has been around the league for sure. He's played for a bunch of teams. Now he's with the Cubs, and he was traded to the Cubs by the Mariners for cash considerations or a player to be named later. And he's had a rough 2015, although he did have a few pretty darn good seasons before that. To me, it kind of seems like Mott went down, so let's find a player just like him. This is Rodney. Kind of throws in the mid 90s, yet can be very susceptible to giving up home runs. So he throws hard, and he has a ton of experience. But I don't know. I worry about this move a little bit. But you know, a couple of details is he's been on a Madden team before. He's been on a Madden coach team before. So there's that. But I don't know, and we'll see.
So now they have okay. So Jason Mott led baseball in saves in 2012, right? So right. 42. Rodney was last year at like 48. So who was 13? They're cornering the market on save leaders from past seasons. That's their kind of their scouting report.
Would it have been Rafael Soriano?
Oh my God! Was it?
I don't know.
Oh, Google, here I come. But yeah, I mean, they obviously think they can do something with former dominant closers. So
And so not only does he wear his hat quite crooked, but he also shoots arrows.
Soriano was the leader in 2010.
And so, yeah. And for Rodney is 38 years old. I mean, he's played for a million teams. Again, by a million, I mean three, four, five, six, seven teams. This will be his seventh team. So, you know, a million equals seven.
I think these are just, you know, low cost, low risk, you know, players who, if they perform well, you've got yourself a veteran
right.
bullpen arm. If right. they don't, you know, you scrap them.
Right. And, so, and I mean, I you know that there was a, you know that there was something there, even somewhat recently. Yeah. And so if Bosio can, I mean, granted, Bosio doesn't have a whole lot of time to work his magic that we've seen him work. But.
Well, and the other side is he's played for Madden before and they have a relationship. So I think there's something there too.
Right. Right. I just passed you in props, Kurt.
What? Let's go, Jonah. Stop it.
Okay. So, there's a couple of other, I mean, we have a lot of listener questions to get to, but there's a few more tidbits of Cubs news this week. You tell I'm totally distracted by the props and everything.
Yeah, the bubbles. That's like, you know, like my toddler blowing bubbles in my face.
But there has been a few more tidbits of Cubs news this week. First off, it was announced that the bullpens will stay put for one more season and will not be moved under the bleachers until 2017. Any thoughts on this, guys?
Not really. I mean, I think it's kind of, I don't know.
As long as nobody gets hurt.
I don't have a strong opinion either way.
As long as nobody gets hurt next year, I have no problem with it. But as we've talked about before, and we especially talked about at the beginning of the season or in the off season, I'm totally fine with moving the bullpens. I don't feel like, you know, when we went to that game for our bus trip and I was sitting there, I honestly have no idea if at any point I looked over to the bullpens. And so I don't care that I won't be able to see them.
And yeah, now that you mentioned it, I don't think I did either.
Until somebody does a face plant and breaks their face, then we don't care.
Right.
Until Anthony Rizzo goes over there and trips and.
Yeah. Although he can navigate tarps and walls and everything else, so maybe he'll be okay.
It's true. He's impervious to the bullpen trap.
And then also the Cubs front office got a little bit stronger this week.
Yeah, they picked up Jared Porter from the Red Sox. The Red Sox front office is kind of falling apart over there. And one of the weird clauses of the Cubs getting Theo was that they couldn't, you know, poach or steal any employees from the Red Sox until last year that ended. And so now it's kind of open season on the Red Sox front office or other employees, I guess, if they need some hot dog vendors or something. but so, yeah, they picked up Jared Porter, who is the scouting director for the Red Sox, the pro scouting director, which I think is a really great pickup. My only concern is that I hope this has nothing to do with Jason McLeod. He always pops up as a name for GM openings, and there's a lot of GM openings. Which we'll see get hot and heavy after the playoffs are over. But hopefully Jason McLeod will stick with the Cubs. But if not, at least they have, you know, Jared Porter.
I don't think McLeod's going anywhere right now. I really do think that we're not going to see a lot of movement out of the Cubs system for a few years. I think that these guys have put in a lot of work into this system, and I assume that they want to be there to see it resulting good things. And I was just going to say that I think that by doing that too probably gives them more bargaining power with their contracts or whatever. You know, if let's say the Cubs win the World Series, if you're Jason McLeod, your price just went up.
Yeah, I think so. And I think last year was the Padres that he was mentioned with, but
he turned it down.
Yeah, he turned that down. He didn't interview. But there's so many more openings this year. That's what kind of worries me. Like, it's not just one option. It's lots of options. So
Yeah, I just kind of feel like these guys, I mean, if I'm Jason McLeod, I know that if the Cubs can do good things for a couple years in a row and maybe do the ultimate good thing and win a World Series, like I'm going to be able to get pretty much any or a lot of the jobs that I would want. Like every year there's going to be opportunities. It's not like, oh, I better take it now because there may not be another GM opening for like 6 or 7 years. I mean, he's, you know, he's going to have his opportunities. So I just think they're going to, I think this team really kind of like works well. I mean, this front office, I think they work well. And I think that if you're them, this last like 4 years and then what's happening now, like this would just have to be a blast. Like it was basically like Ricketts kind of gave them the sandbox to do whatever they want. And they were able to like take a big market team and scrap it and build from scratch an entire system from scratch. I just think that would have been a ton of fun. Not that I would know how to do that, but it would be. Anyway, anything else you guys want to say about McLeod before we move on, or any front office stuff before we move on?
Just props to the him sticking around.
Yeah, yeah, we would like to give him props right now. if we can get McLeod like 50,000 props, I bet he stays.
Yes, that's all it's gonna take.
Okay, so we have quite a few listener questions here. These are I ask for these on Sunday mornings on Facebook, and you can go to ivmv.com/Facebook, or I also ask for them on Twitter, and we are at ivmv on Twitter. So this first one, and I, it's worth mentioning that Andy and Kurt have not seen these questions yet. So
I've prepared extensively for these questions.
Okay, so Ian, who is at Ian M. Hansen on Twitter, says, what role do you hope to see Javi Baez play down the stretch?
Occasional second baseman, quality pinch hitter.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, or third. With Chris Bryant playing, moving to right field in that one game this week, or at least one game, with Soler going down to injury, it kind of opens up third base. And we've seen Baez play there. But, yeah, I think kind of utility with at-bats versus lefties. And so pinch hit, defensive substitution, stuff like that. I don't think we're going to see him start every day.
No.
Okay. DJ Dub, who is at DJW4177, says, what is the Cubs record versus number one and number two starters this year? So go ahead.
It requires a teaser. We haven't seen it. I got nothing.
Well, I didn't do the research. I actually did start digging into it, and then I started thinking about it more of kind of like in a big picture way. And I don't think that the Cubs are bad against number one and number two starters. And I think it's really important to remember that number ones and number twos pitch well against all teams. And that's what sets them apart. And every team is going to have some trouble with them. And that's why they're the cream of the crop. So I think the Cubs for 4 years have looked bad against number ones, number twos, number threes, and number fours.
Number fours, number fives.
Bullpens, closers, bullpens. Setup.
They've looked washed up starters.
They've looked bad against a lot of pitchers. And so I think that this idea of, oh, well, they do pretty well against, you know, your middle of the road starters, but they have trouble with number ones and number twos. Well, all baseball teams do, you know. And so I don't think that I would get down on this team. And granted, I mean, you're going to have to beat number ones and number twos in the playoff. But guess what? We've got our number ones and number twos to throw in there. So I feel pretty good about Arrieta against almost anybody.
Yeah, I still think a lefty power guy like Bumgarner does definitely scare me.
Or Sale.
Yeah.
Although we're not going to face sale again, but
no, not till next year.
But, I mean, pitchers similar to sale.
I mean, they're not gonna face Bumgarner in a one game playoff, obviously. But well, I guess
unless they could
implode,
right?
But yeah, that guy scares me.
But at least initial playoff matchups, the Cubs will have seen these guys one or two times before, so that bodes well, you know, for the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. I and you know what, and I think too, we have to consider Joe Madden, because I feel like he's going to pull out.
Are they going to have him be a player manager?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, they're going to be like, how come there's only 24 guys on this roster? He takes his jacket off and puts a glove on, taps himself on the cup.
Is that a thing? Cup tapping?
I don't know. Just to prove that he's ready to go.
You prove that you're ready to go with a little cup tap at work. That's what I do.
I do it when I walk in the front door.
When you walk into the classroom. Give a couple of taps.
7:58 a.m. I give myself a couple cup taps.
Let's go, kids. Coffee in one hand.
Mini souvenir bat in the other.
Well, I don't remember what I was even saying there, but oh, I remember now. What I was saying is, though, I think he's going to pull out all the stops, and I think that we're going to see him get real aggressive if they're facing a Gerrit Cole and really struggling to put, you know, if they can get a base runner, like it feels like. Unless it's Bryant, Rizzo, you know, someone like that, I could easily see him like, okay, we're putting in a pinch runner. Like, I just think that he's not going to play conservatively in that game. And so I think that's something we have to factor in too. And then he also, let's see, he asks, will Baez get a lot of at-bats next month?
I wouldn't put him in the a lot category, because like I said, I think he's the sort of utility infielder and pinch hitter. So I just don't think he gets a fair amount, but not a lot.
Well, if he starts, I mean, if he has some success initially, I feel like it'll be more than it would be otherwise.
Yeah,
it's not going to be a boatload of appearances.
I think it depends on how he's playing. Like, I don't think they're going to bring him up to sit on the bench for games at a time, because really that does nothing to help his confidence. So I think he will get at bats, but I could see him being used sparingly. But if he's playing well, they're going to use him.
Yeah, and Starlin has hit the ball again recently. I'm not currently watching tonight's game, so if something's happened...
You know who's not hitting the ball?
Don't yell at me.
Dodgers.
The Doyers.
Los Doyers. You know, I can't watch it because I can't stream it while we're doing this thing. I'll probably interfere with my props.
Well, let's see how things are at. Let's see where things are at in about a half hour, because we might need to pause this thing.
I know. I can't...
Okay,
I might just have to fire it up and ruin my stream.
Next question.
Okay, DJ Dub has one more, and he asked for a WADA update.
That's too many updates to give you.
He wants a WADA of them.
He's technically like still on a, you know. What, no, okay, so, well, you guys are gonna have to inform me because I don't know now. But so he was on a major league contract, but he's not currently. Is that correct?
Well, so he accepted a minor league assignment.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. So he's doing WADA's doing okay. Not great. He had a bad game last week. He gave up. He pitched three innings and gave up five runs on nine hits. He's just not missing many bats. He's striking out fewer in Iowa than he did when he was with the Cubs this season. Like, significantly fewer. That's the update. I don't know.
He is on Iowa's roster.
Yeah, right. I don't see him making an impact.
No, but he also, I mean, if you remember when he was with the Cubs, he did fine for like the first time or two times through a lineup. So
I mean, not even a whittle bit.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy, you got no props for that one.
That's all right. I'm over it. I'm drinking my old chub. Props for me.
All right. So let's see. Moving on. Another one here from Ian. He says, options for back end of the rotation. Should Richard, Wood, or Wada get another shot over Heron?
No, I think those guys aren't stretched out. I think it'd take too much time.
Yeah, at this point, it's Heron. I mean, and the difference between all of those, that crew, that raft full of fifth starters is negligible.
Yep.
Yeah, although I'm not impressed with Heron. It would be really
a good outing. One.
Yeah, right? It would just be really nice if Hendricks was pitching better, so it didn't feel like we had two number five starters. But Heron has an ERA of about six. No, Hendricks does. I think Hendricks, I don't know. Now I'm all confused. I just wrote ERA of six. I don't know who I'm talking about.
Somebody starting for the Cubs has an ERA of six.
Probably both of them. That wouldn't surprise me. I think Hendricks. I was looking at Hendricks, and he had an ERA of about six in the last seven games. So I was just thinking that, you know, it's not really what you want from your number four. But there's really, yeah, there's not a lot of options at the back end of the rotation. But again, that's kind of to be expected. I don't think that very many teams have a real strong number five. So I think it's real easy to like look at this Cubs team and like see things that fans think are weaknesses, when really it's a weakness that every team has. Every team probably has a weak number five pitcher.
Yeah, unless you're
every team probably does
Braves or something,
right? And every team probably struggles against number one and number two starters. I mean, this is just something that all baseball teams face. So,
watch me look up the mid-90s Braves, and their fifth starter was garbage.
Okay, next question is from at Vemels. I guess that's how you say it. Would you change how the playoffs are to seed the best teams in each league rather than having divisions? And then he says, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I guess you'd like to see that this year.
Right. So the idea then is that, that from each league, you would have, say, the top four teams, regardless of what division they're in. So that's what he's getting at there. He or she.
Yeah.
Of course, that sounds attractive this year a little bit.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was thinking is, you know, look this year and looking at how strong the National League Central could be over the next handful of years. Yeah, I would like that idea. That said, if you asked me a few years ago or if this situation was in the American League, I would say no, just because I think it would be weird to have a team win their division and not get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said, this year it looks really good, but overall I think the system works.
I'm watching the Cubs game.
Yeah, I know. I can't lie. I'm really, really, I just fired it up. I'm super
Maybe scared. We should answer the rest of the questions on the midweek episode, Corey, honestly.
I'm tingling over here.
We got a little bit more time. So the bottom of the eighth, everybody listening to this podcast knows what's going on. So the bottom of the eighth, Jake Arrieta has a no hitter through eight. So
Jesus Christ, you just said it.
It's okay. I'm watching Twitter. I don't believe in jinxing. I don't believe in jinxing. In fact,
I'm sure Len Casper said it 50 times already.
Right.
Or no, he's not calling this game, is he?
No, he's not. No, what a bummer that it would be an ESPN. Although, yeah, good for Arrieta his agent, Boris. Well, it's great for those two.
Money.
Great for those two. Okay. When we get to the eighth, or when we get to the bottom of the ninth, we will take a break or something so you can watch.
We're
Andy.
We're just going to have to wrap it up. Wherever we are, we're ending it.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Brent, who is at Cubstruction, says Anthony Rizzo left field. Something we could see or blasphemous speculation?
blasphemous speculation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I no thanks. No, yeah. There's no real options for
defensive first baseman. I don't understand.
Yeah, and there's no real options for first base other than Coughlin. I don't think, you know, he's better in the outfield. I don't see any. I don't know. Then again, it's Joe Maddon, so who knows? There could be like some bizarre reason that he does it for one batter or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Christopher from Oklahoma. Chris from Oklahoma says, how do you guys feel about the Fernando Rodney pickup? And do you think we might see some lineup changes with the September call-ups, like finding a spot for Baez instead of using Listella? So, yeah, we kind of covered both of those topics, I think. Yeah, I think Baez is, I would prefer Baez over Listella right now.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Rocket says, are Cubs fans the real curse? And I guess that's kind of based on the conversation that we had. Was it on the last episode or the episode before?
It's kind of been the last two, I think.
Yeah, I think that's well put. You know, we kind of talked about would it be better for the Cubs to play that wild card game on the road just because of the what might happen in that ballpark if the Cubs go down early and how fans might react. And I think that Danny's kind of on to something that, perhaps we are the curse because we expect something to go wrong and we look for things to go wrong. And if anything goes wrong, it's because of a curse, not just because of baseball.
Yeah. I hope that era is coming to an end. Hopefully like young, like my son who's three, my hope is that he doesn't know anything about that past curse. You know, that we can flip that and then it's like, well, what are you talking about? So,
yeah.
And the young players for the Cubs don't either.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So here's what we'll do because we want to finish this to watch the bottom of the ninth inning. Let's save the rest of the questions for the midweek episode.
That sounds great.
Okay. So, Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week?
Oh my gosh, I don't. I totally forgot about scary stats. I'm sorry. No, I don't. But I would like to read you a little quote that I wrote in the notes.
Okay.
And it says, if Arrieta rights the ship after a bad Lester outing, he kind of ends the conversation about who starts the one game wild card playoff.
Huh.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Honestly. There's your scary quote.
I tried to argue with it for the entire episode. I mean, why pretend anymore?
Right.
Yeah. No, I appreciate your sticking to the devil.
Right. Stay with the devil, Andy. do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
No, not tonight.
Okay. I have a few. I know I'm all jittery. I'm all jittery about this game. This is like hard to.
I'm scratching myself right now. Scratching my leg.
Okay. I have some internet muscle flexes. One of them is, these are all from Cubs Instagram. One of them is a photo with, Joe Maddon with Jamie Foxx, at the batting practice cage thing.
I should have known there'd be some flexes on that one.
There was a whole lot that I'm not going to go anywhere near. But my favorite one is, a commenter says fake. Cubs don't do BP.
I love it.
Only during American Legion Week.
Right. So I just thought it was amazing that like the Cubs Instagram would Photoshop a photo with Jamie Foxx. It's a fake photo. And then let's see. Another quote. I don't even remember what picture this is from, but I saw one that said, have either of you watched the last four games? We can't beat anyone with talent.
Oh my God. Obviously. That's what happens when you win, you know, 73 games. You can't beat anyone.
Right. And then this one is from the pictures that announced the Fernando Rodney signing. And one of them reads, maybe this means no more bum ass Dan Heron. And then the last one, I think this is from like a Cardinals fan, and they said, you poor bastards, LOL, but they spelled poor P-O-U-R.
Maybe that's something different we don't know about.
Oh, man. I have one also. I forgot. Can I share it?
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
All right. One commenter says, the Cubs are going nowhere. And then who's first in the NL East, revealing himself to be a Mets fan? And then,
oh, I saw that whole exchange.
Somebody goes, the team the Cubs beat 7 times this season, that's who, the Mets. And then another guy says, a team we swept. Andrew, the guy's name was Andrew. How else can we help?
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up so we can watch the end of this game. So that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all 97 of our Patreon supporters, and these are the people that help make this podcast possible. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Chad, Todd, Dave, Dallas, Charles, Steven, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, Luke, and Artie. Our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason from New Mexico, and the Quad City Zone, Jason Nunn. We have some new contributors this week, thanks to Darren from Sherrville. I hope I'm saying that right. Sherrville, Indiana. Andy from Arlington, Virginia. Adam from Atlanta, Georgia. And Chris from Canton, Illinois. Oh, and Justin from Washington, Iowa. And Dave from Burlington, Iowa. So Patreon is like Kickstarter, but it's ongoing. Your monthly pledges help us pay the podcasting bills, help us upgrade equipment and services, and it really helps improve everyone's IVMV experience. Pledging levels start as low as $1 a month, which is really just pocket change, but it really does help us out. You can go to patreon.com/IVMV to set up your pledge. We offer perks at the different levels, and check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So Andy and I will be back on Wednesday evening with the midweek episode. The Cubs play the Reds at Wrigley Monday through Wednesday, and let's hope there's no letdown, and I don't think there will be, considering the little skid that they've been on. They have some weaker teams coming up, the Reds and the Diamondbacks, so it'd be good to get some wins here this week. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoy our podcast, share it with a friend. People are excited about the Cubs right now, and if you talk about the Cubs with someone, let them know about this podcast. We'd really appreciate it if you would spread the word about what we're doing. So thank you again, and until Wednesday evening, go Cubs. We're going to pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes, when the stars align. We're going to pop champagne, going to pop champagne by the lakeside.
Hello there. This is Jennifer calling from Southern Illinois, Carbondale. I just listened to your podcast about the Cubs and their excessive celebration, which I think is perfectly acceptable. I've never been on a pro sports team, but I have been on several soccer teams throughout my life and also coached soccer at a pretty high level. And that celebration is what makes sports fun, not just for the team, but for the people watching. So I love it when I see those guys get a hit and rub their helmets and, the gum, I can't even speak because I'm all excited because I'm talking to IVMV. Anyway, the gum buckets on their heads. I think it's pretty darn fun. So enjoying your podcast. I listen to it as soon as they are available. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Port Orchard, Washington. Recently moved from the Chicago area. Just calling in regards to your question on the last episode. I say let the kids have fun. There's a line that can't be crossed, but kind of a gray line, especially trying to describe it via voicemail. They're all adults. They might be young adults, but they're still adults. Should be able to figure out where that line is between being a jerk and just having a good time. So I said, let them have fun. Everybody enjoys it. Keep the younger generations into baseball. And above all else, go Cubbies. Keep up great work, guys, and take care.